Hi and welcome to Hospitality Huddles. I'm Scott Turner and each episode we'll be uncovering the industry's biggest challenges and serving up the solutions to help overcome them. We're bringing together some of the best thought leaders in the industry and finding some of the most creative minds shaping the future of hospitality from all around the world. They're going to share insights tackling the pain points operators just like you face every day. Hospitality Huddles is more than a podcast, it's a community of passionate individuals who appreciate the art and science of hospitality and want to help answer the difficult questions. If you like the show, one of the best ways to support us is to hit that subscribe button and leave a review. It's only going to take a couple of minutes and it really does make the difference. So let's get on with today's episode, and all that's left to say is welcome to Hospitality Huddles, where hospitality meets conversation, one huddle at a time.
Welcome to a very special edition of Hospitality Huddles today. We are on location with Auden Hospitality at Fox Hills Country Club, and we're working on the Floors Cafe, which we've been doing the concept and we've been doing the menu development, and now we're working on the training and the launch week. Mm-hmm. And with me today is Bal, who is one of our great team here at Auden Hospitality. So Bal, why don't you introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about your background and where you're working on the Floors project with us today.
Hi, everybody. Well, for Auden, I'm the operations director. Sounds glamorous than it actually is. But, you know, that's my role. Take care of everything ops. My background, hospitality, quick service, 25 years.
Showing your age now, right?
Yeah, can you tell I'm a bit? so 20-something years in and around the hospitality world. Started my life in McDonald's. Worked in various brands, and then we kind of finished off my life in kind of frontline hospitality when we worked together on a vegan concept, which, you know, was kind of the first of its kind, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was exciting. You know, I've been doing it for a very long time. Then joined you, Auden, about a year ago, nearly to the day. Yeah. Worked on a little bit of procurement. Then we had a few projects like here at Fox Hills and Flows, the Flows Cafe. So, for, you know, I'll lend my expertise and see how we get on. But yeah, that's been good.
You know, I always remember a guy coming to me in an interview. I can't remember where it was now. It was a while ago, years ago, when I worked in hotels. And I was interviewing him, great guy, right? His background, I think his previous job or where he was working was Pizza Hut. And I always remember him saying to me, but I don't know if you're going to like me because I've only worked in Pizza Hut. I remember saying to him there, like, don't say I only worked in Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. Because one thing I learned in QSR, which was later in my career, is what you learn in QSR working for people like Pizza Hut or McDonald's or people like that is, and we did it, didn't we, with By Chloe and Lebanese Bakery, is you have to have your processes to a T.
Yeah, it don't work.
You have to look at everything like meticulous, don't you? Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? It's a huge skill to learn.
Yeah, and I think that skill, obviously, you build it over time. But the guys who have got it there, it's, I don't know, would prescripting be the right word? It's very prescribed, right?
Yeah.
This is what you use. These are the tongs. These are the ingredients. You don't kind of deviate off a recipe. You know, you're not got a chef playing around with it every day. It is that. And with that, I think, comes quality consistently, you know, and duplication.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to scale a business or a brand, that's where QSR skills or people who have worked in that industry can really come to their own because they understand the process, which leads to the quality and consistency. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But do you know, it's funny because I think we're starting to introduce a lot more of the principles from quick service now into projects we do. And one of the things we've done here in Floors is we've done the build sheets exactly like we would have done in QSR.
Yeah.
To replicate those dishes so that it becomes easier to train. It's easier to get consistency and quality, which is the key thing, right? And that was something that you really pushed in when we worked together in By Chloe.
Yeah.
Why don't we, if we talk, want to like talk about what we're doing with Floors and Foxes. Let's start with that and how we've looked at the menu and we've created the menu.
Yeah.
And then we've looked to put that process in, especially using the build sheets, because there's probably a lot of people listening to this now that work in hotels, work in like upscale restaurants that are doing everything from scratch. But what we've done today is we've put a really simple process in that means it's really simple for the guys to deliver consistency, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, let's talk about the build sheet thing.
Yeah.
It's really simple.
Yeah.
So kind of a little bit of background. The build sheet is simply to build a product. Let's take a salad or the yogurt. Yogurt's a better example.
Yeah.
So we have a blob of frozen yogurt around granola with some toppings. Mm. Does a chef have to make that? No. Can they develop that? Yeah. But to make it, there's a process. So you put the granola in, you put the yogurt in. But how do you make that look and taste and be consistent all the time? Not just how it looks, for your cost too. It's quite important, right? And then how do you take the thinking out of that? You know, someone has to weigh a spoon. So we just use scoops, colored scoops, different weights. One is for 200 grams, 300 grams. One is scoops, 50 grams or 10 grams. And they can go as low as like, you know, sometimes some of them are 5. And they've color-coded. Mm-hmm. So we took the Caesar salad, which says, okay, scoop. Green, for example, will put your salad. The next one will put your croutons. The next one will be your parmesan. Once you put your dressing on.
Yeah.
And you do 3 swirls of a squeezy bowl. That's easy. And then you build that. So you go green, Caesar salad, green, 1 scoop of salad, 1 scoop blue of croutons, and the the corresponding colors. The team then understand that and they can make the same salad all the time, consistently, looks the same, and you are now de-skilling your impact or process as regards to consistency and cost. So that's coming back to flows. How did we look at the menu? Other than you're kind of doing all the normal stuff, tasting the menu, look at the menu. We was like, all right, let's speak to the team. They were frustrated with the pass. There was a lot of dishes that they were struggling to get out. So some operational and setup issues. They didn't have enough space. So they didn't necessarily need this skilling. We just needed to use the space we had to do things we can do.
Yeah.
One of them was scoops. One of them we changed a few things about. And I think the principles were, how do we get it simple so the team can execute with the space and equipment they have? So you're not, you know, doing loads of CapEx.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's not a massive change. We are redeploying a person from the, here I am flows, from the kitchen to the counter, right?
Yeah.
Still a chef, still can manage consistency and quality. But the process is easy because we changed that. And then the other thing was, I don't know if you want to talk about it, was how we looked at the service. So everything went to touching all the pain points. Service was a pain point, big queues, getting food out quickly, consistently, and good quality was a problem. So we looked at the processes and we looked at it. That's what we did. We stood there and looked at it and talked to the team.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? How many times we go into projects and simple tweaks to the efficiency workflows or simple tweaks to the systems of doing things can make a big change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, the thing they've got here is they go from, 34, 35 covers in the winter to 300 covers because they have an outside space with beds and things like that. So how do you manage that change? And we split the counters so that there was 2 very different queues. We had one that was coffee and drinks, which made it easier for
guests. Yeah.
The other one was for food, and it does that. And I think that whole bit about how you can then use tech to scale and to bring down means you don't have to keep adding lots of people in there. So we've looked at things like putting in Chibos, Merry Chefs, that turbo blasting so that we can do some food outside like super quick. And then other stuff will come from the kitchen. It'll take a bit longer.
A bit longer, yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, QR ordering for outside and stuff like that just to make life a little easier for the team. And I think sometimes where I get a little frustrated sometimes is when you see people go in and go, we need to rip it up again. And often He doesn't need that, does it?
No.
Efficiency.
I suppose, you know, everyone wants a blank page, right? Would we have, you know, in an ideal world, wanted to rip this kitchen out and redo it? Of course we would have.
Yeah.
But it's not the scope we had, and we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have been a viable thing. Yeah. So we go, okay, what do we have? We have a pass with three shelves. Let's take a shelf up.
Yeah.
Simple. Yeah. We got 3 points of service. Let's split them.
Mm.
Food, coffee, and then we're going to deal with the pool as well, because that's seasonal, really.
Yeah.
So normally the simplest fixes or the simplest ways of looking at it is you kind of walk what the customer's doing. And we also got guest feedback, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And not every single, that's an overstatement, of a large majority of that feedback was, it's a little bit confusing, you know, it takes a long time. So, you know, when you use that feedback and talk to the team, you go, okay, it's giving you clues, right?
Yeah.
On what you need to do. Simple solutions. And I think, you know, me personally, and using my background, QSR, God, it's real simple fix. Yeah. Straight away, we said, oh, they need a speed up. Yeah. And then we realized there was a really good one for not a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Our friend Chibo.
Yeah.
You know? Chibo sounds like a little guy, doesn't it?
Well, we both know a Chibo.
Yeah,
you worked for us.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the super terminal.
No.
It wasn't. Blessing. One of the things we need to say as well about Floors is they had a great brand in place.
Yeah.
Super branding. Everything was there.
Like, yeah.
We walked into a venue that, on the face value, was in a good place.
Yeah, for sure.
We had to look at the operational efficiencies and some of those bits, and we've done that. Menu development was also a big piece, and we've looked at how the workflow and the menu can work together. The other thing, and it's funny, the owner here, Mr. Hayton, said to me when we presented the initial concept that he always remembers one of the first things I spoke to him about was the how not one person could say the same thing about the venue. So everyone said something different. And one of the things we said at the start was that we need to put a story in place that everyone believes in, that everyone understands, everyone can articulate. So we did that based on members' feedback, based on research we were doing, based on what we felt the end.
A lot of concepts in the marketplace,
And then we put that into place, and we've gone there with the team today, and we've delivered the training, and we've told the story, and we've got them all bought in, and everyone understands why certain things are sitting on the menu or not. I think one of the big things there is, let's talk about the training today, just to show people or people who are listening a little bit into when we go on a project, we've done the story, we've looked at the concept, we've done the menu, we've looked at efficiency, we get to week of go live, like what does it look like? So why do we do a day in the life of what you've
done today? Yeah, okay. It can be a bit chaotic, but if you got all the bits in order and you got, you know, things coming in, like today, for example, we had some people working on equipment, making some minor adjustments. We had all of the team in, well, not all of them, a large majority of specifically the front of house team. We had the back of house team in, but working with Ben, who's our chef, and we work closely with Mehdi and Paul and their team in the back. So we kind of split the training. The chef took the kitchen, I took the front of the house, and we looked at the story to start with.
The first thing.
So everyone goes, all right, what are we doing here? So we're never going to go, we don't know what it is. But it was, you know, community, friends, family. And that's the tagline.
Yeah.
There is a sentence around it, but all they need to know is community, friends, family.
Yes.
We kind of built that, I think, was into our Instagram pictures. You remember?
Yeah.
When we did that conference. Yeah. So, and then why the theme, incidentally, we chose was Australia, right? Because it's high quality. There's a focus on coffee, and we had split the coffee out of the service, and the menu is diverse and not overly complex. When you go to a trader, of course you can get complex menu, but it just fit really well.
Mm.
And then we talked about that. That was okay. That's going to be a kind of high level cultural piece about why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, okay, we get it. Right? Australia, and then we get it, understand why. Then we go, okay, so what's changing? We talked about some of the real kind of overview of how we split the service up and why. From that, we redid the sequence of service. What happened when someone wants to eat in and wants to dine out, and sorry, eat out and dine in, shall I say. If it's a coffee-only order, what we're doing. If it's a food and coffee order, what we're doing. We just split it up. You know, it was about introducing a, not necessarily a new position as far as an extra person on the labor, kind of redeployment. Again, a front of house host takes a lot of questions away from the guest coming, oh, this is new, what do I do?
Yeah.
Over time, that will educate the guest and they'll automatically start doing that.
Yeah.
And we're elevating the experience from a service point of view and hospitality point of view. Then we just talked about actually taking the order and being quite prescriptive in how that all works, what to do at the till, what to do at the table, how things are going to look, where do you give the cutlery, where do you put it with condiments. And then finally, taking the food out, who's doing it, what it looks like in a higher volume period and a lower volume period. And then kind of circling back to the guest and touching the table, making sure everything's okay. And we did the same for if they had a QR code. And then the team had questions and we covered off some exceptions to the rules and, oh, but now we do this and now we do that. But that's all fine. You're going to get that. And I think the key when you're doing these things, especially if it's a new concept like we've done now, and we may not think it's a significant change because we're involved in the process the whole way, but the team do.
Yeah.
And if they've been doing something for a long time one way, then it's important that we go, hey, listen, the expectation is this is an evolution of this service style. This is an evolution of this menu. You know, we will change things over the next 2 or 3 weeks and it'll be tweak, tweak, tweak. But what they got today, they got an overview of what the theme is about and why we chose it.
Yeah.
They now understand how we're going to actually deliver that as far as ordering and taking the food to the tables. And finally, we did table talkers on each dish. And then the chefs were in the back being trained on what to prep. And while they were being trained on what to prep, they made our signature dishes. That's an addition, right? We have some signature dishes to the menu. And the team, you know, I mean, it's just about engaging them. They're like they're enthused, excited. They're seeing dishes, which, you know, on new plates and new, what we call OS&E.
Yeah.
And obviously they had questions and they were talking about prices and all this sort of stuff. But to see them try, I don't know, we must have tried about 10 different dishes today. And, you know, they were so excited and they couldn't wait to tell the others who were unable to be here today. So, yeah, you always want to GM up and get them excited. But if you're passing on the information in a more fun, interactive way, I think that's the aim, because it can be quite boring, right? Oh, this is the dish. This is the allergens. This is the takeout. But it's all on a sheet of paper, which they have put into a book on the counter. If anyone has any questions and need to refer to something, they can do. So that's kind of really, I don't know if I've gone on a bit too long.
No, that's perfect. I think that's exactly summed up where it is, because I think, you know, we talk a lot about thinking differently, right? And when we go into the projects, we look at how can we add value to the people we're working with by coming in and bringing our perspective of working in different places and bring those values in and get them to think differently. So when we suggested bringing some of the cold counter forwards and making it very visual, it was really about thinking differently about that whole kitchen and with the way it works, looking at how we split coffee off. And then, you know, one of the things that we didn't touch on was today, we had the team probably training for about 3 hours just on how to steam milk, because it's super important to them.
Yeah, we had our coffee people in, well, Flo's coffee people, Mozo, right?
Yeah.
And their head barista trainer showed them all how to really steam milk for a latte, for a cappuccino, how to do a perfect kind of espresso pour so you get the crema right. And again, because we want to elevate that area.
Yeah.
So it injects excitement into it. And they've done it before, but we're just reinforcing what they may already know and teaching them one or two things that they don't.
Yeah.
You know, so again, elevating the coffee, like I said, you know, you got the coffee guys in. I think it's all integral to kind of bringing the whole thing together, you know?
I think probably the one last thing to touch on now that I want to touch on just on here, and maybe we do another one on Thursday when we go live and
of course
do another follow-up, but is we talk a lot about what at the moment guests can capture. So what are those USPs? What are those user-generated moments? And we obviously did the French toast here, doesn't it, go live, and looked at then how we can change those flavors every month. We've built a calendar for 12 months that's sitting there. But it's super important, isn't it, that the team understand what those moments are so that they can really interact with the guests to start getting them to start telling other people through pictures, through storytelling, through digital hospitality, to start getting those things going viral where you get FOMO element.
100%.
And then you get them to buy in, right? And that's been a big part of today, is going, these are the signatures. These are the ones that you want to get on a table together because you want the guests flatly. Or we've got the French toast.
Yeah.
Every month they're going to come back for the new flavor because it's following that thing. And it's something that we used to do a lot with Dominique Ansel in Corona.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I picked up from working with Dominique was that whole piece around how do you get people to come back every month, every month, every month. Here we need them coming back every week, two, three.
Nine. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And but it's about that, isn't it? Getting those user-generated moments. And then the final one is the music, because we revisited the concept. We've done all the bits with the efficiency and the concept, and then to settle off that final one, it's like, what do you listen to? What is going to resonate with you when you're sitting in the concept and listen, right?
While it's fresh in my head, I'm going to touch on the music. Well, I remember you sending me the music, and it was AM, it was PM, and then it was night. And I did a drive, I had a 4-hour drive, and the music. I remember listening to the music, but I was listening to the AM at night.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, I listened to the PM. So a slightly a comedy moment for myself, if anything. But that's how far we're going to take these things. They were serious about it. The music was important.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're going, I'm not saying you find all traditional Australian music. That wasn't about it. We go, like, how do you capture the vibe in this family? There's people hanging out, there's a sign, there's a glass, there's a beautiful golf club, there's young people, older people using the facilities. You know, it can be a cool place to hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and then how we were changing the concept. We're like, okay, we need to get the right ambience or vibe, whatever description you want to use in that. So we ended up merging the playlist, right?
Yeah.
And we had someone do it for us. And between me and you, probably about 12 hours of listening.
Yeah.
And then talking about the craveable or user-generated or excitement, the example which kind of says it all today, soon as the dishes hit the table with the team, they all had their phones out.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it is not prescribed. No one said take pictures. And they're going to hit the Insta accounts with it for sure. 100%. So, and that's the team. They work here and they're getting kind of first digs at it. And, you know, we'll get the French toast out. We'll get some of these salads out, you know, like these dishes. You get the corn fritters out. They're colorful, they're fresh. It will generate it because we did it not as a primary driver, but it was in the back of our head. So you go, okay, make the dishes look great, look craveable.
Yeah.
Make the music sound really good. Make sure the ambience is good. Make sure everyone understands and feels like they know what they're doing, and the services or the hospitality is elevated. You put all them together, so people are going to feel a different way about it.
Like a sense of, it's like,
doing
this corn fritter dish and it's stacked up. And the last thing we're going to do before it goes out is we're going to crack
the edge down.
By the time it comes out to the guest, it's like oozing and it's coming down. Because the first thing you're going to do when you look at it is it's going to be craveable. And everyone loves it when an egg cracks and it comes down. And I think it's those little details, isn't it, that just, that's the bit that sets people apart from the competition.
100%.
It's those little touch points that may not seem big, but when you put them together in a experience, those little touch points is what builds raving fans, is what brings the community back, is what makes it the hub for people, brings it habits and all the rest of it. And it's then how you get them to that hub and how you get them to
that's
online. So we're putting the playlist on Spotify
so
that people can download it and listen.
It's really Apple users.
Well, no, you know, I'm dialing it. I'm trying to.
We're trying.
We did a poll, didn't we, on Instagram?
All right, right.
Much told us.
We're out of date.
Music. That's fine. Sometimes it takes time to catch on, but as long as you get there in the end. And I think, yeah, and then every month it's going to get updated and it's just going to be that.
It's going to be a thing, yeah.
And I think I talked about it with Jay Ashton when we're talking about podcasts. Is the one thing about podcasts is every time you release a new episode, if someone subscribes to it, it hits the top of the feed every single time. So every week, if you release a new episode, you see someone's brand. So Sean Walshef, I subscribe to him, Barry the CEO. Every time it gets released, I see Sean Walshef there. And I save an episode. So when I go to my save list, it's there. Then with Spotify, when we update the playlist every month, Flaws is going to come back to the top of the playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
And every guest is going to be like, let's go to Flaws this weekend. So you're all like subconsciously plays.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, I think that's why I wanted to sit here and do this was sometimes I don't think people really understand necessarily what people like Auden do when we start getting into projects and doing it. But it really is going from the most obvious all the way down that spectrum to thinking differently and what can we, where can we really add the value?
You try to touch all the senses, right?
100%.
You know, we hit the menu with taste, with the visual, yeah. You know, the music, you know, how they can, the smell of the food, you know.
What kind of all the senses?
I think they have.
So, yeah.
Feel, yeah, well, touch of food.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
But, you know, and then like one thing I'd like to mention, you were saying about kind of the craveability and getting people to tell our story. And also working with the partners, for example, the bakers.
Yeah.
We do our pastries, more of coffee, yeah. You know. They got a story to tell.
Do you know what? Just quickly, though, let's touch on the baker, because this is a subject I talk about a lot. And I've had this conversation with two different people.
Right, yeah.
Is we've collaborated with a local baker called Fago.
Yeah.
Four or five locations around the local area in Missouri, really well received, great reputation. And instead of doing maybe frozen baked, or instead of doing, you know, buying in ready-made or whatever it might be,
yeah.
We've decided to go, we're going to go super local. We're going to collaborate with great people, building the marketing, going to get it delivered in fresh every morning. Like we got it the other day and it was warm cinnamon buns at 5 o'clock, right? Let's talk about that, because that's just to finish. I think this is a great area to go. Sometimes collaboration is just as good as doing things in-house or letting the operation or capability downgrade quality when it doesn't necessarily need to, right?
Nah, definitely not. I mean, look, I talk about the team all taking out their phones. We did the tasting, was it 2 weeks ago now? The first tasting. And we brought out the pastries to the team then, Mr. Hayden, yeah. Page, and everyone was like, wow. They sold them the next day and they were gone, I think, before lunchtime.
Yeah.
Because we had a substack. And, you know, they were blown away. And, you know, props to Fago's, you know, Sam, the head baker at Fago's, he's been in dialogue with us the whole time. He's invested in that brand. And it's great to work with someone like that because it shows in their product. Product's high quality, people love it. And I think, yeah, there's obvious collaborative benefits. Social media, we can tell a local story. You know, if they're local, they're our neighbors.
Yeah.
Our members know them. Friends, right?
Yep.
Which is, I don't know how to sound cliche, is one of our values as far as, you know, the theme goes here. So it's important they get a little bit of help or exposure, as do we, when we're starting something new and exciting, you know, and you know, they deserve it because they're good,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They're good, and everyone thinks it, you know, kind of doing what they say on the tin, but yeah, like stay local is much better than trying to go, oh, we're trying to do all the pastries ourselves and struggling, or now we're struggling, though, we're going to buy the frozen pre proved ones. Quality just goes down the pan,
yeah.
It's ended up, you know, a part of the offer that no one loves.
Well, it was something we were quite passionate about.
Yeah, 100%.
Making sure that, I mean, we probably went through, what?
Seven or eight
bakers, something like that.
Yeah.
And then it was literally one day, I think I said to you, has anyone tried Fago?
It was a thing
to do wholesale. No, we haven't done it. And it was like, let's try them just in case.
And they were responsive.
They was like, yeah, let's do it. So
2 days.
Like, don't underestimate the power of picking up.
Yeah, 100%.
Beeping these partners and going, do you want to collaborate? Do you want to do something? Because We all want to generate revenue.
Yeah, they were honest as well. Fair play.
By far the best quality.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
So, listen, Bal, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's been a great first day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's do this again on Thursday when we've won. And maybe we'll do some...
Yeah, we'll go into the flows.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be pumping.
Yeah.
You know, they can feel it, you can feel the vibe in there as well, you know. Check out our playlist.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we'll put a link to Spotify on the playlist.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah.
Exactly. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for listening to Hospitality Huddles. Your support is always greatly appreciated. So take a moment, subscribe, leave a review, because you get to see me and Bal a little bit more. And the more projects we do, the more we'll...
Yeah, I'll
be... Fun, right?
Yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, we'll show you all what we get up to on a daily basis.
Right. Adios.
Adios.
You've been listening to Hospitality Huddles, where hospitality meets conversation one huddle at a time. Hospitality Huddles is brought to you in partnership with Auden Hospitality. Visit the website at www.ordenhospitality.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.